Today is July 10th. Okay, so he writes, "V'ro'isi lagdim kodem sha'ascha beperish halacha," and in order to introduce, notice he calls Pirkei Avos halacha. Right? Of course, it's halacha. It's how we holeich. It's how we comport ourselves. Prakim ha'wilim, these helpful prakim, yedam mehem ha'adam akdamos. And you should know these introductory points. V'yulo gam kein mavo umafteach b'mashani yasid lefarish. These things will be like keys to the lock of understanding these issues. Okay, so, and again, as I told you, his masterpiece of Musar, Hilchos Deos, will be essential to learn alongside as well. Hilchos Deos is the codification of halacha of Pirkei Avos. V'dash, ha'dvarim asher omar b'prokim elu, u'b'mashi yavo min ha'perush, einam dvarim she'bedisim me'atzmi. I think we might have said this last time. These are not things that I just made up myself. Lo perushim she'chidashtim. I did not make up these chidushim. Right? Amnam he'minyonim l'ktanim likat tim midivrei chachamim b'midrashos v'talmud v'zulo samichim b'reihim. I just collected them from the various statements that I find in the Talmud and especially in Pirkei Avos, midirei ha-filosofim. Yeah, we did this before. Gam kein ha-kadmonim v'chadoshim v'mechuberei harbe b'nei adam u'shma ha-emes m'pi ha-shamra. Just hear the truth from the one who says it. That's where I said we would do the Gemara in Chagiga and the Gemara in Moed Katan. Both Gemaras cite a pasuk in Chagai that says, if you really want to learn from a Rebbe, Akiva, we're taping. We're taping something. Okay, he doesn't hear. So both Gemaras cite a pasuk in Malachi that says, find a Rebbe who's a Malach Hashem Tzvakos. If your Rebbe is like a Malach, learn from him. If he's not like a Malach, don't learn from him. Right? So both Gemaras get off into a discussion of how Rabbi Meir learned from Elisha ben Avuya. You heard of Elisha ben Avuya, the heretic?
He was one of the four who went to Pardes.
Right. So, but the Rabbi Meir continued to learn from him even after he became a heretic. Problem is that one Gemara just sort of leaves it as we should not have it. You don't have any business learning from someone who is such a model of indiscreet acts and beliefs. And the other one that says, no, Rabbi Meir was able to because he was smart enough to differentiate between what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. So that's a big difference between those two Gemaras. Right? So I'll just give you the psak of the differentiation. Is that if what he taught you, what he's teaching you, was something he taught that preceded his heresy, you know what I'm saying? In other words, he wrote this great book when he was 30, became a heretic at 50, so you could still read that book at 30. But then if he wrote another book at 60, whatever the topic is, right? So, and don't study that. His heresy had something to do with it. You know what I'm saying? So same is true, but anyway, let's say someone
that's what we say today too.
Yeah, I know someone who's sitting in jail now who wrote books and is before he. It's very difficult to determine. Did he write that book before?
Right.
He definitely wrote it before he went to jail. But did he write it before he was doing the things for which he went to jail? This might be a little harder to determine. We know when he wrote the book, but we don't know when he was when he first started doing those things. So that's all right. What can I say? His books are probably discredited today. If anybody sees it on the shelf, they say, oh, what's that doing there? All right, so, okay, but in any event, I'll just give one shot. And what is this malach? If your Rebbe's like a malach, Christians believe in that kind of thing. We don't think they're trying to be like a malach. What does that mean? So a malach stays in one place. Person always wants to advance. If you don't advance, call it Mosif Yosef. If you don't go up, you're going down. You can't stay like this, not in a relationship, not at the gym, not on your job, not in anything. If you're staying like this, you're going down. Right? So that's what you mean. When if a Rebbe comes into class, he has to be like a malach. He has to realize that he is only there for one person, to bring those kids up like this, not for himself. If it's for him to advance himself and go higher and higher at the expense of his Talmidim, that's not a good Rebbe. Yeah, no doubt that a teacher has to be stimulated also in preparation and things like that. But no, the whole point is to bring them up, not yourself. That's a malach. Because he's ready, he's willing to stay in the stationary for their sake. Follow? Okay. V'efshar shavi lefamim ma'amar echad kulom yisefer ha'mefursam b'lashono. And I may actually bring from Lashon of Pirkei Avos without even quoting it. I'll just bring it right in. Ve'in b'chol zeh roa. Nothing wrong with that. I'm not going to have a das. In other words, he's saying that it's an issue for all the time. You know, I just finished this Haggadah. Did I sometimes say something that someone else said before me that I didn't attribute properly? Now we have an internet where we should be able to find these things. But it's really egregious when I see someone quote something in the name of a Rishon when it's a Gemara. There's no excuse for that, right? But he's just saying, listen, I'm going to be free with my attributions. Don't. Okay. All right. Shani kvar yisvadesi bazeh. I've already confessed that I will not always attribute the statement. That's what he does in the Mishnah Torah. He doesn't quote every halach and says the Gemara and Shabbos says no. He just says what's is that the easy way out? Certainly the only way out probably. Vafapi shelo azkir omar ploni shezarichu sein toel espa. I'm not always going to tell you, Shmuel says in the Gemara. I'm just going to say. I mean, he does that all the time. I'll tell you, I will say that sometimes in the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam, when he's ideologically connected to a particular position, he will cite an individual opinion as the Chazal opinion. And I find that problematic. I'll give one example. Like Rambam is very much tied into the position that when Mashiach comes, the world will not change at all. Right? Ein bein olam hazeh limotu Mashiach ela shibud malchus b'vad. The only thing will change is that we won't be under the burden of the nations. Right? We'll be free from the UN. So obviously Mashiach has not come. So the Rambam presents that in a few places as Amru Chachamim, like it's a fait accompli, it's a decided thing that the world will be this. And it's not, first of all, it's not the opinion of all your colleagues. The Ravid sharply disagreed, the Ramban disagreed, and most followed them. Mm-hmm. But two, it's a Gemara, it's a machlokis in the Gemara. It's two different opinions in the Gemara. It's not Ki Amru Chachamim, the Chachamim say. It's Shmuel and Rebbe Lazar, it's machlokis. You just because you side with one doesn't all of a sudden become chachamim, right? His tenets of faith seem to have been sort of codified, right? I happen to agree with the Rambam on that particular point, but I'm still pointing out it's not the chachamim; it's a someone. You hear the difference between what he's saying here, okay? V'efshar shiyeh mevi zichron shemo isha hu l'chshov mi she'in lo chach. He says, sometimes I will mention a particular person. He does that sometimes. I mean, he's probably just more, he wants to excuse whatever he's going to do. He's not consistent. Right? There's no toelas for me to always mention every source. And there can sometimes be a hefsed in doing so. Yeah, so it seems the Rambam is trying to say something here. He's pointing to a particular individual who commented on this thing. Where if you have to mention each and every position, You have to just start justifying. Maybe they held that because of a particularly held. Because I don't have to start getting into what was said by each individual. I'm just going to say what I think is true. If you don't think that, you don't agree with me, don't buy the book, you know. Right? So there's a long footnote here that talks about what we might be referring to here. Mm. Right? In other words, there could be harm in always mentioning every single thing. It's an interesting position. I'm only trying to protect the reader. Whatever you read in this book, it's something I agree with, right? He's really protecting himself. Maybe I want to look up at your source and see if you are reading this original source properly. Right? In the Mishnah Torah, the Ravid, right? You're familiar with Hasagas Ravid? That's where he was against what the Rambam, you don't bring your sources. I think you're reading this Gemara wrong. Mm. Tell us where you're getting this from. It'll be easier for us to figure it out. Right? Now find all the hidden things in this Maseches. Now, this is where it's at.
Can I ask you a really simple question?
Yeah.
It's called Shmona Prachim because there are eight chapters?
It's not in Pirkei Avos. Pirkei Avos has five chapters.
Right, so why is it called Shmona Prachim?
Because he divided his introduction into...
The introduction's in eight.
Yeah.
Okay.
So...
Okay.
Pirkei Avos was originally five Prachim. The last Perek was tacked on afterwards when the minhag came amongst Klal Yisrael to say the prokim between Pesach and Shavuos.
Mm-hmm.
There are always six Shabboses in between. So if you only have five prokim at Pirkei Avos, what are you going to do with the last Shabbos before? So they took the last parak of Meseches Kala, like Yachri Kala, and it's Mamish word for word, and it's all about the Shevach of Torah and the life of Torah. So it goes well before Shavuos. So, but that's why the sixth parak of Pirkei Avos actually begins differently. It says Shanu Chachamim Baloshana Mishnah. So it's clear that it's tacked on. The question that remains is why Davka between Pesach and Shavuos? What's that time to read Pirkei Avos? So the scholarship that I've read about this is that it was a reaction to a Karaite minhag of reading Tehillim Kuf Yud Tes and Yud Tes between Pesach and Shavuos. What's about those two prakim? Tehillim Perek Kuf Yud Tes is 176 psukim, and 175 of them is one exception. 175 of each speak about the glory of Torah. There's one pasuk that doesn't mention anything about Torah. It's connected to the pasuk before. It's eight times Aleph, eight times Beis, eight times 176, 22 times eight. And chapter 19 is in our liturgy. It's the Netzach, the Mizmor David that we say on Shabbos morning, right after Ashir El Hashem Ki Gamal Aloi. Psukim are in it that you're very familiar. Torah Hashem Tamima, Meshivas Nafesh, Eidus Hashem, Ne'amona, Machkim Aspesi, Pekudei Hashem Yisharim, Samchei Lev, right? So Mitzvah Hashem Bora, Miras Einayim, it's all about the Shevach of Torah, right? So the Karaites loved Psukim and Tehillim that spoke of the Torah's Hashem Tamima. Tell me why. That's actually one of their creeds. Torah's Hashem Tamima. Why? Because the Karaite believes that everything you need to follow the Torah is in the Torah.
Hmm.
Torah's Hashem Tamima. We have decidedly come on a different direction. We hold that the Torah by itself is a closed book, and we're incapable of learning what it is with just the words of the Torah. And we can prove to you in many instances that the Torah itself knows that.
Mm.
When it tells us things like slaughter the animal, like I told you. There's no pasuk in the Torah that says that. Karaites have to find it, you know. Now there are gemaras in Chulon that say, where can we get from hints in the Torah that there are, that where Shechita should be. Right? So Torah Hashem Tzmima was said by them between Pesach. What's between Pesach and Shavuos? Because the Karaites start the Omer on a Sunday, always on a Saturday night. That's already Gemara Menachos that says that the time between Pesach and Shavuos was always highly polemically charged between the Tzedukim and the Purushim. And the Karaites were sometimes more powerful and more numerous than the non-Karaites. They were very powerful in the Middle Ages. They appealed to the Muslims. Okay. Mm-hmm. We'll stop with that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.